Welcome back. At the Rational Revolution, I'm Mark Becker. We've got former Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, Zachiel Torres-Small, my friend, and big farmer guy, Daniel Olson. We were talking on the other side of the break about the organizational uncertainty and what people are feeling who are employees of USDA. Daniel, uncertainty is terrible for anybody, but farmers plan months and months and months out.
Exactly.
What is the uncertainty like for them?
So there's three main points, I think, that are really impacting farmers. And maybe we just talked about the USDA, and I think a lot of them maybe aren't going to realize the impact of that for a few months or maybe a few years. I was just on a call with the USDA Forage Research Center, which I do extensive work with in my consulting work and things, and they're just talking about the chaos that's happening there. I mean, it felt like a funeral on that call. and so that's something that long-term is going to impact farmers. But more short-term, there's two things. Right now, the markets are in huge upheaval. I primarily work with dairy farmers, but really almost anything, that agriculture is the thing that's going to get hit immediately and very hard when it comes to tariffs and the trade war that we're taking on with really the whole world at the same time. And then and then immigration and labor. A large percentage of the cows that get milked in this country are milked by immigrant labor. And that uncertainty, that it's hard. It really is. And I think a lot of farmers maybe don't quite realize it yet until it actually affects them. But already cheese is down maybe 15% in the last month, the price. That we went from a projection of a very profitable 2025 to a basically farmers are going to lose money in 2025 unless something majorly changes. And that's just in the last month.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you look at, you talk about markets, and from what I do know, that it's not the stock market we're talking about, like commodities, right?
We're talking about commodity markets.
So, yes. You know, and that's something people don't see that.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch the news, they don't talk about, And so Wisconsin being such an agriculture state, I mean, when I drive to work, I drive past a really, really big dairy farm right on County C in Chase. Mm-hmm. And then I drive by a little mom and pop that have maybe a couple dozen head of cattle. And who's going to feel these first?
Yeah, well, you know, there are some protections and some programs that have been there in place. There were some opportunities for taking out like margin insurance and marketing. But generally larger dairies are going to have maybe more solid marketing plans and they have more opportunities to do that. Whereas smaller farms maybe just don't have as many opportunities. So from that standpoint, yeah, I would imagine smaller dairies are going to be hit quicker, but everybody is going to be affected if this carries on more than 6 months or 12 months.
Sachiel, I read an article where there was a farmer and he was quoted, as we were talking about some of the political stuff, the farmer said, you know, we're in such a state of shock. We don't even know how to respond to all this. We thought that this was sacred and really untouchable. Everyone thinks that all farmers voted for this, but we didn't vote for this. How out of the blue is all of this?
Oh, I mean, I think there were incredible just shocks to farmers all across the country. Heard from farmers who had their contracts just canceled. So, you know, you asked who's going to feel this first. The first farmer is the one who had a signed contract with the government to repay, reimburse for certain expenditures, whether that was putting in drip irrigation or whether that was a award for solar on their farm. But even if it was is to expand to a more local market, right? So providing food to a food pantry or to a local school, public school system. They had contracts already signed with the federal government, and yet those are not being paid. Those funds have been frozen. That's an immediate loss. And I also heard from young farmers who were part of a plan to help young farmers get better access to land, because it's one of the hardest things for starting up a new farm. And those programs have been cut. So all of this investment in the next generation, the future of farming, making sure we don't lose that crucial agricultural land, they're no longer going to be able to access that program. So a lot of things that were already planned and frankly already signed, you have the federal government reneging on that.
So if a farm had a plan that was going to put some, you know, irrigation up, and when I was a county supervisor, I got to tour a farm field that had this, like, it was incredible drainage system that they had in Brown County, and they showed us how it was working with, you know, different roots during the winter time and all this. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And so they get funds to be able to do that stuff. The contracts are done, the work is done, but they're not getting help that was promised?
The contract is done. They've already made the payment. So I've heard from one farmer who got funding for a high tunnel and drip irrigation, and they were out $13,000. They've already made that payment. They've now submitted receipts to the federal government, and that money is not being paid.
Yeah, I have. I was just on the phone before I walked in here to the studio with a company that does commercial, like drip irrigation, subsurface drip irrigation. And yeah, a number of their projects are stalled out. And it's tough because they're trying to import, you know, supplies. They have to have supplies on place. These farms were wanting to get these projects installed before the crops go in the spring. Everything's in a holding pattern. Nobody really knows. Another client of mine in Ohio put in a large solar project, $400,000 out of pocket, and they have not gotten paid for that yet. These kind of things, it's just a lot of chaos and confusion and just uncertainty. And it didn't need to be this way. That's the frustrating part. Like you could have had a plan and said, yeah, we want to reduce the size. Let's work through the proper channels. Let's give it a 6 months, a year, 2 years to make that happen, and work through an administration structure, and instead it just blew it up.
Just to that point, and meanwhile, the things that people were voting for, lower prices, it's not helping either, right? Eggs are still, I walked into our local Save Mart, and, you know, for six eggs, it was $3.19 for six eggs. That used to be for a whole dozen. You're seeing impact to the farmers, and you're not seeing a change for consumers. In fact, with, as Daniel, as you mentioned, the impact to the market and with tariffs, we're going to see that increase even more. I mean, when you look at how much farmers rely on markets in Canada, Mexico, and China, those are our top three trade partners. And now, you know, there's just so much uncertainty every single day. But then also you look on the input side. One of the things the Biden-Harris administration did was invest in fertilizer production domestically. So how do we make sure that we have domestic production of fertilizers so that farmers have a more reliable market no matter what's happening in the world? And we learned that because after Russia attacked Ukraine, there were massive skyrocket of fertilizer prices. So yeah. Now, unfortunately,
we're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break. We've got Zachiel Torres-Small and Daniel Olson. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about tariffs and what do we do going forward? So stick around.